we continue our study on this series on the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator. Remember we said that the word now is at the beginning of that phrase. The emphasis is upon the immediate response of the people of God towards their Maker, towards the one that is blessing them. And tonight our study brings us to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 to 7. Vows made before God. Three thoughts that we want to think about. Defer not to pay it. A sin not to pay it. Fear God and pay it. At the heat of the Second World War, on March the 11th, 1942, the Japanese army swept into the Philippines, taking down island after island. You know, the nation of the Philippines is a republic of many islands. And we see here this scene before us during the Second World War when the Japanese army swept down south. And there was a soldier who declared to his comrades fighting the war as he stepped into the escape boat. The enemy's fire is too strong. He's escaping in a boat bound for Australia. And his last three words were this: I shall return. And he arrived at the port of Adelaide 9 days later. The 62-year-old military statesman made his closing remarks with the sentence, I came through and I shall return. This promise that he made 2.5 years later, on October 20th, 1944, was fulfilled. He stood once again on the Philippine soil after landing slaves safely in Leyte Island. And this was what he said. This is the voice of freedom. General MacArthur speaking. People of the Philippines, I have return. And this man indeed kept his word. His word was as good as his bonds. And the odds were against him. The author Charles Swindoll, in a devotion entitled Keeping Your Word, wrote, he says, it includes the precious and the power of enemy strategy. He, as bound and determined to make his promise good. This rare breed is almost extinct. Whether an executive or an apprentice, a student or a teacher, a blue or white collar worker, a Christian or a pagan, rare indeed are those who keep their word. The prevalence of the problem has caused the coining of the terms painfully familiar to us in our era, called the credibility gap. Right? To say that something is credible means to say that it is something capable of being believed, being trustworthy. So to refer it to as a gap is to suggest a breach or a reason for doubt. And so this pastor, he says, jurors often have reason to doubt the testimony of a witness on the stand. Parents, likewise, have reason at times to doubt their children's word, and vice versa. And the list goes on. And so he concluded that devotion by saying, question, judging yourself on this matter of keeping your word, are you bridging or widening the credibility gap? Scripture tells us that we are to keep our word. Whenever you make a promise, you are to honor it. And you recall our study of the book of Ecclesiastes brought us back to the sanctuary of God. Right? Last week we began chapter 5, when man is brought to the worship of God. Now this is in the assessment of Solomon at the end of his life, the only profitable activity, when men live their life for the honor and glory, for the worship of God. And he tells us that we are to imbibe this wisdom and receive God's blessing. And so from chapter 5 onwards, he begins to lead his audience away from the life under the sun. Right? He has spent a lot of hard time telling us that this life is not worth living. Right? You will not profit from it. And now he's directing us to a way, right, that would be profitable. Remember during our adult Sunday school class, we were mentioning how the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Right? And when we learn the truth of God's word, the principles whereby we are to live our life to receive God's blessings, then God would show us what is wrong with our lives. And then he would show us how we can correct it. And then he would point to us what is the right way to go. And so the scripture is very comprehensive. And Solomon is saying to us, I remember last week, the three thoughts. Prepare yourself, be ready to hear, be not rash with your mouth. Come with a heart prepared to listen to the voice of God speaking to you. And he speaks to us through his word, in the hymns that we sing, right? As we take time to be focused upon God, to read and to meditate upon his word, and to listen to the exhortation of his word, if we would humble ourselves before God and be ready to hear and be ready to obey the instructions that God will give us for our spiritual well-being. And so he concluded last week, he says, be not rash with thy mouth, let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Solomon further developed how we are to approach God in his house in verses 4 to 7, right, when he speaks of the vows uttered before God. The three thoughts: defer not to pay it, a sin not to pay it, fear God and pay it. The writer Bill Baldwin, he says, in Israel, a man might come into the temple and make a vow. For example, he says, Lord, if you would heal my son, my daughter, I would give you 30% of all that I have, right, of the year's harvest, instead of the usual 10. And he says, you can see how tempting such transactions might be. You are desperate, and you know you don't know what to do, and you are tempted to make a deal with God, as it were. Right? And you can see how life can be in those certain times very uncertain. And when we make deal with deals with God, right? He's saying here in our text, in verses 4 to 5, that we be sure to pay it. If you were to make a request to God, and God has answered your prayer, then do not be slack to pay your vows. Right? Vows to God are treated seriously in the sight of God. And the Lord wants us to know, right? And the Lord provide us many good teachings, right? How we are to be careful before we utter anything before God, because God will hold us accountable to what we say. So the vow of a person, right, Barnes, the commentator, explained, most frequently made in cases of illness or danger under the impulse of religion's feeling, either in the way of thankfulness for blessing received or of supplication for something desired. A man may or might dedicate himself, his wife, his children, or his born servant. And so he would go to the priest, and he would say this to the priest, and the priest would have to make good, right, the vow that was made. And there are many passages of scripture in the Old Testament that teaches us how important it is that we keep vows that we make before God. Right? Numbers 30 verse 2 says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Okay? And Deuteronomy 21 to 23 says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not be slack, or thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. And so, you know, our devotion to God begins life for us. You see, if you are right with God, your relationship is straightforward with God, then you'll find that God will enable you by His grace to have a straightforward relationship also with the people around you. Paul says in Ephesians 4:25, Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. I received a call. Someone said, someone wanted to borrow from me and said, we'll return tomorrow. I lend. But next day came, the person disappeared. This is the worth of a person's word. Right? And oftentimes, you see this happening. It's a common experience in the world. David said in Psalm 15, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So he tells us that when we would vow, let us be ready to pay it. If not, do not vow. And so Solomon is saying, let us not be rash or hasty to make promises before God. So the child of God is very calm, very serene before God, He weighs what he is doing. He weighs what he is embarking upon to do. Right? And the Lord wants us to be so. And one of the vows that men and women would make is the marriage vow. Right? You make that vow, right, invoking God as a witness, right, to a lifelong companionship. Right? Paul says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband is dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. And you recall here the pledge that is made in the marriage covenant that I placed here for you. It says, "Wilt thou have this woman," this is said to the man, "to be thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto her as long as ye shall live?" And to the woman, "Wilt thou take this man to thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou obey him and serve him, love, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto him as long as ye shall live?" Remember? And then the vow. I take so and so thee to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge you my word. Right, the same thing the wife, the husband says to the wife, and that is the exchange of rings. Right? It says, "With this ring I thee wed, with my body I thee honor, and with all my worldly goods I thee endow." And the name of God is invoked. Right? "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." And so we are to take time, right, to before we would make a commitment. If it is the will of God for a marriage partner, before we would make a vow for a long-term commitment, right? Verse 5 says, "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay it." It's easy to say, right? But to do it is another thing. Right? So the Lord here is saying that, you know, we must know what we are going into in life. Right? And these things, you know, God takes seriously because God wants your life to prosper. Right? He wants His blessing to be upon you as you walk in the center of His will. Okay? "For He hath no pleasure in fools. I pay that which thou hast vowed." And so the warning here, you know, is not to make vows rashly. Right? Whether in distress, right, we make vows and then we neglect and we break them. Right? Solomon calls this fools, because it is the highest folly to deceive God, because God sees everything. Right? Cannot get away. So, Solomon is telling us here in our text, right, defer not to pay it if you have made a vow, for it is sin not to pay it. Verse 6 says, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? Now, in Jesus' time, oaths are made frivolously. Right? These are idle, unnecessary swearing, okay, that is made. And the Pharisees developed a very complicated series of rulings on oaths. You know, they call it a positive oath, was a promise to do something, and a negative oath. There's such a thing as a negative oath, right? And what they do, right, is that in order not to fulfill, to make that oath less binding upon them, right, they would vow against all other things except in the name of God. Right? They would even vow in the name of the temple. Okay? And Jesus is saying to them that, you know, this should not be like that. Right? Vows should not, in the temple, should not be taken frivolously. Right? Jesus tells them, you know, it is not something just external, but what is going on in your heart, right? You are taking God's name in vain when you speak like that. And when men would make statements like that, even before God, you know, then what will they do, right? In their own personal lives, anything goes. So there was great chaos in Israel. Right? The Lord himself had to come in order to make straight the situation. And so Jesus himself came and he shared the purpose of the law. All right, it's to point people to understand what is true holiness, the standard of God's law. And, you know, to show us that, you know, we fail and that we are humbled before God to seek God for mercy. It is to drive us to learn the fear of God. Remember when Moses gave the Ten Commandments? At the end of the Ten Commandments, Moses said to the people, "These commandments are given to you so that you may learn the fear of God." This morning, we were studying the life of Joseph, and we were at chapter 44. How God worked in the life of his brothers Judah, right, bringing them all the way from Canaan to Egypt because of the famine, right? And, you know, a very interesting incident. Right? Joseph asked his servant to place a silver cup inside the sack of Benjamin, the youngest brother. And so they all left, and he instructed his servant to go stop them and search them. And when they searched them, they found that, oh, what happened? Not only was there money, but there was also the silver cup from Joseph's house. And so every one of them were hurled back. And then they observe a difference. Judah defending Benjamin. There was a change in their behavior. Before that, you know, they were liars. Remember, they tricked the Shechemites. The Shechemites were all slaughtered by them, right, because of a lie that they made. Right? If you would circumcise yourself, right, we would become relatives, brothers. Right? Then halfway, when they were weak, they took the sword and they slaughtered them. Right? So they resort to all this kind of trickery, and, you know, the way they treated Joseph was also like that. Right? They killed an animal, spilled the blood on the coat of many colors, gave it to the father and said, "Your son has died." Right? So, with all these circumstances, God was working a work of sanctification in the hearts of these brothers to cause them to realize what they have done was wrong. You see, and each incident was to expose their guilt and cause their hearts to be pricked so that their conscience would give them no peace until they would confess their sins. And Joseph was able to observe how, you know, Benjamin was cared for. He was willing to sacrifice. Judah was willing to sacrifice himself. Right? And you notice that his conversation to Joseph was straight. Right? He didn't lie. Right? Everything was straightforward. And from this he could see that there was a change. Right? And the Lord wants us to serve him, walk with him, right, with that kind of a straightforward heart. Right? And God sees, right, and God knows what is going on in our lives. And the Lord doesn't want us to make frivolous, commitments in which we cannot keep. And so the third thought, fear God and pay it. Verse 7, for in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. So the essence of the law, if you would listen to the message on Matthew chapter 5, where we went through earlier in the life of Christ, back in 2014, the essence of the law is the holiness of God. Right? Then by it, man may realize that he is guilty before God. Right, the verse I quoted earlier, Exodus 20:20. Right, Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Right, and Romans 3:19-20. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the Lord wants us to see and to understand, all right, that we are to be very careful how we would order our lives, how you would want your life to be. Right? We all have to make many decisions in life. And there are certain decisions that we make, right, will have long-standing repercussions. Right? Commitment of faith, commitment of marriage partner, commitment of career. Right? And we all make these commitments, as it were, when we are young. Right? But, you know, whatever that decisions that you make would last a lifetime. And so it behooves us to have wisdom, to consider, so that when we make decisions, make commitments, it is one that will bring honor and glory to God. You know that, you know, you are walking in the center of God's will. You know that this is what the Lord wants you to do. And you do it with all your heart. And you are happy because God's peace and joy will abide with you. Right? Because you know that this is what God wants you to do. And when you do it, you know, you would receive the blessings of God. And so, this devotion, vows meet before God. Defer not to pay it. A sin not to pay it. Fear God and pay it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for thy word in this matter of making commitments before thee. Lord, I pray that thou guard our thoughts, guard our mind, guard our heart, and guard our mouth. That the words that we say, the promises that we make, may bring honor, bring glory to thy name. Lord, I pray that thou bless thy people. Bless thy people as they come before thee they learn to seek thy will, to be quiet before thee, to know what thou wouldst want us to do. And when thou hast revealed it to us, that we will do it with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So Lord, may thou strengthen our hearts and bless thy people as we seek thy face in prayer. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.